Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's gracious will, I am blessed to come to him in worship today in the preaching and teaching ministry of his word. It is my blessing to meet with you, dear listener, also today, and especially to have fellowship with you who are in Christ, the beloved of God, the chosen of God, his very own sons, those adopted into his eternal kingdom by the marvelous grace of God. How blessed we are, dear listeners. Let us live lives to the glory of God, that others without Christ may see God in us and the blessings and benefits of our salvation, and therefore become jealous of the good that we enjoy in Christ, and then begin to seek after the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too may have him and his benefits. Friends, learn more about our ministries at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Today, we continue to talk about an aspect that is related to the truth that we find in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And that is, in our sanctification, in our fellowship with Christ, we draw near to him, and we do not leave our first love. We maintain a fervent love for Christ as we enjoy fellowship with him. Friends, today we'll look at verses in John chapter 15, that's verses 1 through 8. Please turn there with me in your Bibles as you can. I'll soon read these verses in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Now let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you would bring us into fellowship with yourself, that we may have an agreement in the gospel, and that we might enjoy each other in a mutual sharing and companionship. Praise you, Lord Jesus, that you came to us out of your love for us and brought us into fellowship with yourself and with the Father. Glory and praise, honor and blessing to you. Lord, please, once again today, bless your word. May it be a means of grace and help to us in our sanctification and in this aspect of fellowship with you this very day. May we all be keenly aware of your nearness and presence, Holy God, Lord Jesus Christ, that by your Spirit we will enjoy sweet fellowship with you today, that all who might hear would then see your goodness, that they too may have a part in the blessing of Christ. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. In the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, John 15, verses 1 through 8 read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We see in these verses clear aspects that deal with our Christian fellowship, our companionship, our shared agreement with Christ, with our brotherhood in Christ, that Christians share in the very life of God in Christ. We see here the importance, too, of the Word of God in our sanctification, and especially in our fellowship, the aspect of fellowship with Christ. Jesus says to believers that they have been made clean by the Word of God because they have received the Word of God and believe the Word of God in their hearts. And so it is that men have always been cleansed, are cleansed today of their sin by the precious sanctifying word of God, which they hear and receive into their hearts and believe in their hearts. In these verses in John chapter 15, Jesus brings to us the great picture that he is the vine and that believers are intimately bound to him as branches are to a vine, and that the vine, the vineyard, is tended to by the vine dresser. The vine dresser, Jesus tells us, is God the Father, and God, who has planted the vineyard, who has caused the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be, is a careful and meticulous vine dresser, surveying intimately the branches bound to the true vine, with the intention that the vine will produce the fruit that he desires it to produce. Every branch in Christ that is fruitful represents a true Christian who brings forth fruit to the glory of God. But every branch in Christ that does not bear fruit, we could think of this as those who profess a faith in Christ, who associate themselves with the church, but indeed are not regenerated, who do not bear good fruit, are pruned, they are cut away by the vine dresser, by the Father. He is an able vine dresser. He prunes the branches that they may bear fruit. That is, he cuts back the fruitful branches that they may bear more fruit, as God cuts off parts or aspects of the believer's life that he may be more fully sanctified, more fully set apart to God. And this wonderful process of removing that which is not for the best in the believer's sanctification, all for the glory of God, results in a greater purity. Believers have already been cleansed through the Word of God. They are alive in Christ. It results in a greater purity, and therefore they are more fully sanctified and able to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ because of this pruning process. Jesus says that those who profess faith in Christ are to abide in him, and he will abide in us, in those who believe in him. We must continue in him. We must stay in him. We must live in Christ, draw near to Christ, because our very life is in Christ and bound to Christ. We have no life apart from Christ. And so in our fellowship, we gladly draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gladly draws close to us. We share this mutual agreement. We have this similar interest. There is this mutual aspect of fellowship, our receiving and giving to him, his receiving and giving to us. And as we abide in him, as we fellowship with Christ, we bear fruit, not of ourselves, but his life in us brings about fruit, holy fruit that God the Father, the vine dresser, has purposed to bring about through his true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the branches who are truly bound to him and are fruitful. Jesus notes that unless a branch abides in him, that is, the professing believer has Christ's life, which produces fruit in him, that he will be fruitless. And the fruitless branch is cut off in the pruning process. Both types of branches undergo the pruning. Here, the fruitless branch is pruned. It is cut away, and because it is fruitless, the branch withers. And because it is fruitless, it is cast away. Here again, the believer can only fellowship with God in Christ if he has received the life of Christ in him, and that Christ's life is sustained in him. He abides in Christ. and he is continually renewed by the life of Christ that flows into him through the fellowship that he has with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruitless branch does not share in the life of Christ. It is fruitless, therefore, and it is finally cut away and cast off. It is dead because the life of the vine is not found in it. But we who are blessed of God, that the great and eternal God who lives, who is uncreated, who alone has self-existence, that is, he is life, and life comes only from him, has blessed the fruitful branches with his very life. We are created. We cannot live of ourselves. We can only live by the gift of life that God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He exists in himself. He lives forevermore. He is life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we are not the life. We live only because God gives us life in Christ Jesus. And so as we abide in Christ, in his life, we continue and we bear fruit for his name's sake. Jesus continues to talk about the fellowship that we have with him. He is the vine. We are the branches. We are bound to him. We abide in him. He lives in us, and we will bear fruit. He says we will bear much fruit as we enjoy fellowship with him, because without him, we can do nothing. This sweet fellowship of the believer in Christ is an enjoying of life itself, the life that Christ gives us with Jesus Christ, the Lord God, the giver of life. It is again for this reason that the man who does not live in Christ, does not abide in him, is cast out as a branch, withers, is gathered together, and is thrown into the fire and is burned. How sweet is the aspect of our fellowship with Christ as we realize that we are the blessed of God. We live in him. We have fellowship with him. His life constantly comes into us. We are sustained in his marvelous grace. And we live forever. We are created by nature. He is the uncreated God by nature. He is life. He gives life. He causes created men to live by his saving grace. And we live forever preserved in this blessed relationship and fellowship with God. Knowing that many are lost, the Lord teaches us that in these verses, heightens our appreciation of his grace, heightens our understanding of his great plan for us, heightens our love for him, increases our love for him, because not all experience this great fellowship and salvation that we enjoy, and yet we are the blessed of God. Jesus calls us to sanctification in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, our salvation is secure, but we are responsible to draw near the Lord. We are responsible to obey him as free agents. We are responsible to abide in him, to live in him, and that his words live in us. And as the word of God lives in us, the precious word that we are hearing today, we are moved to pray to God, to ask that our desires be granted. And by the marvelous grace of God, in sweet fellowship, that which we desire is the will of God, and the Father and the Lord Jesus eagerly do for us as we ask them, as we desire of them. Jesus says, if my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Notice that those who have fellowship with Christ abide in Christ, and Christ's words abide in them. Those who are cast out do not abide in Christ, and the branches that are cut off do not have Christ's word abiding in them. Jesus says that the fruitful branches bring glory to God, that God is glorified as the Son lives in us and produces good fruit through us. The Father is glorified by the Son. The Father is glorified by the Son's workmanship. That is, Jesus creates the branches that produce fruit, all for God's glory. Jesus says that the Father is glorified that we bear much fruit. Here, an encouragement to draw very close to Christ, to have tender, intimate, sweet fellowship with Christ, that we may bear much fruit, that we may be very fruitful. God is glorified in this, and so in our fruitfulness, we will be seen to be the disciples, those who follow Christ, those who learn of Christ. We are encouraged to fellowship with Christ in the picture that Christ presents us here, because we see so clearly that all that we truly need is found in Christ and in Christ alone, and that the glorious and blessed result of our living in Christ, of our fellowshipping with Christ, is the fulfillment of God's purposes for us. That is, God produces much fruit with us as we enjoy sweet fellowship with Him. It's so significant to note the importance of the Word of God in our fellowship, in our sanctification. The Word of God is the means of our sanctification. Just as we see in John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your word," a prayer to His Father. "Your word is truth." The Word of God is so necessary in our sanctification. Let us fill up our hearts increasingly as we grow in grace with the knowledge of God, the Word of God. And let us grow in such a way that our knowledge not only increases, but grows much deeper, that we might much better understand the deep things of God, those things revealed by the Spirit of God to us through the precious Word of God. This is God's primary means to sanctify us, to set us apart in holiness, that we might be fruitful, enjoyably fruitful, that we might show forth and possess, enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:5 tells us, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. We also see another section of verses, that is 1 John 1 in verses 1 through 10, in which we have wonderful teaching written by the same writer of the Gospel of John, the Apostle John, about sweet fellowship with God. In 1 John 1 verse 5, the word says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." This entire chapter deals remarkably with the fellowship that John and the other apostles had and enjoyed with the Lord Jesus Christ. John says that the message that they heard from the beginning and that they had seen with their eyes, that which they had looked upon and their hands had actually handled, had touched, the message from and concerning the Word of life, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, has so impacted them that they have come into fellowship with God Himself. John says, "We have heard Jesus, we have seen Jesus, we have touched Jesus. God's life was manifested to us in Jesus. It has been revealed. We have seen Him with our own eyes, and we bear witness to the truth that the Word of life, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, is the Savior of the world." John says, "We declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, Jesus Christ, who has eternal life, one with the Father, has been manifested to us. Glory to God. He says, that which we have seen and heard, notice that this speaks of nearness to Christ, such a nearness that there is intimacy, seeing, hearing, living in the presence of, touching, eating with, learning from. He says, we declare to you these things so that you too may have fellowship with us, with the men who believed in Jesus, who had fellowship with God. John says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. They have come to have fellowship with both persons of the divine Trinity. And John writes these things that those who receive and believe these things may have a fullness of joy. Praise the Lord. My heart is full of joy at this very moment as I consider and speak of fellowship with Christ, fellowship with God through Christ. In His presence, there is the fullness of joy. John says that the message which they, the apostles, heard from Christ, they declare to those who receive the gospel, to those who hear and read these words, that God is light. That speaks of His holiness. He is set apart in holiness to Himself. He is true. There is no evil in God. God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all, John says. God is the quintessence of goodness. He is the quintessence of holiness. And John says to fellow men that if we say we have fellowship with Christ and we walk in darkness, remember there is no darkness in God, John concludes that then we lie and we do not practice the truth. Indeed, we practice a lie, which is to sin. But that if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, God is light, remember, that we have fellowship with one another, that is, there is a true spiritual fellowship that human beings, the redeemed of God, enjoy, fellowship with one another, and fellowship with God. And as we walk in the light with Christ, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin. Such a glorious and wonderful truth. We are cleansed from our sins as we fellowship with Christ and the Father, as we meet with them, engage with them, as we pray to them, as we receive their truth from them in the Word of God, as we obey their voices, as we walk in their presence, turning from sin. In this daily engagement and fellowship with God and with Christ, the blood of Jesus constantly cleanses us from sin. As John uses the picture of the branch and the vine in John 15, the branch abides in the vine. Here we continue, we have fellowship with Christ, and we are constantly cleansed from our sin. We are turning from sin. We are drawing near to God. We have sweet fellowship with God in Christ. John then says that if we say that we have no sin, if a man believes that he has no sin, that he deceives himself, and the truth that Jesus has manifested is not in him. But if we confess our sins, again, the Christian is a man who does sin, but is cleansed from his sin at one and the same time. He sins, he repents, he is cleansed from sin, he turns from sin and temptation, he walks with Christ in the light, and he is cleansed from sin. And so we are keenly aware of our sins. We cannot say that we do not sin, but if we confess our sinfulness to God in Christ, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The man who says he has no sin has no cleansing of sin, but the man who confesses his sins, who believes in Christ, is cleansed of his sin. John makes this point even more clearly, that if we confess our sins, the truth abides in us. And here he says in the last verse of John 1, verse 10, that if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his very word is not in us. Again, the picture of the word's work in sanctification in John 15, here again in 1 John chapter 1. We confess our sins. We are aware of our sin. We do not call God a liar. We don't make him out to be a liar. He declares that we have sin, and his word continues in us. His word is in us, and we are cleansed from all sin, from all unrighteousness, because God is faithful, meaning that he is true to his nature. He is a forgiving God. Those who believe in his Son are forgiven. And God's nature is that he is just. That is, he is true in his judgment to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so notice in the dynamic of Christian fellowship, the sweet communion with God in Jesus Christ, that we turn from sin, we don't sin against him. When we fail and do sin, we confess our sins to God. And as we walk with Christ, we don't turn away from Christ. In this process, God cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness and enables us to draw near to him in holiness. And we enjoy fellowship. We continue in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father. Isn't that simply delightful? Isn't that simply wonderful? That God blesses us in such a way that we have real communion with him, real fellowship, real agreement with him, a truly worshipful walk with him. He is undoubtedly alive. He is undoubtedly God, God the Father, God the Son. And we are blessed to meet with him, walk with him in his holiness, forgiven of all sin, cleansed from all sin, empowered to turn from sin in the marvelous grace of God, walking in the light, truly with Christ, with God, as Christ is in the light. He walks with his Father, and we are blessed to fellowship with God the Father and with God the Son. Glory to God. Here again, my friends, we are helped to walk in the light as we hold the truth of God in our hearts and minds. The Word of God is a light, the Scripture tells us, and the light of the Word comes into our hearts, and we walk in the light with Christ. We are mindful. We have not forgotten God's will, his precepts, but we remember his truth. We meet with him in the Word of God, and so it is that we are blessed indeed. My friend, let me encourage you to fellowship with Christ in the light. I can't help but think that this is just a taste of heaven for us. This is just a small foretaste, if you will, of the glory that awaits us when we will walk in the light with Christ and when we shall never sin again in that glorious place where there is no sin. We are blessed to enjoy the heavenly life now as we fellowship with God in Christ, as we turn from sin and walk in the light with him. It is my hope and prayer that you will enjoy this heavenly life with Christ, this heavenly walk with Christ in his marvelous light, and that God will give us such grace that we will all grow in our relationship with Christ and in the knowledge of God, in our walk with him, and that our fellowship will grow ever more sweetly and be ever more sure and satisfying and certain. Glory to God. Friends, let us pray. Please, Lord, bring about that very thing, that we will enjoy our fellowship with you, our communion with you in Christ, and walk in the light with you as you are in the light, and that we will progressively grow in sanctification in our fellowship with you, knowing you, enjoying you, loving you. How wonderful your word is. It is truly a light to our hearts. Thank you for it, Lord. The entrance of your word brings light. Thank you for the light you've blessed us with today. And so bless my dear listeners and save those who are in darkness but have perhaps been drawn to the marvelous light today. Lead them to believe in you and repent of their sins. And so come into the light. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.